Sorry, I came in late. It's not normal for me to come to a church where I've been invited to preach to come in late. I'm usually in for about an hour or half an hour before. Like most things, you know, technology, I was trying to work on our prayer points for my church because we have a month of fasting and prayer starting tomorrow, just as you end yours. And I usually put together prayer points and Bible reading for each week. My computer wouldn't work, so I tried everything to print. It wouldn't work, so I eventually had to leave it behind for my daughter to sort out. That's why I was here a bit late. Sorry about that. I can see Dave has got faith. Hallelujah. How are you today? Okay, some of you look like you'd rather be somewhere else this morning. I'll try again. I like to have everybody's attention when I'm preaching, okay? So how is everybody this morning? Yeah. That's better. Praise God. Give the Lord a big hand, praise. It is lovely to be here, to be in the house of God. And it's lovely to be here to worship with these wonderful young people. Where are they? If you were here leading worship this morning, can you just get up? Get up, get up. Shall we just encourage this wonderful, lovely, lovely, lovely people? Thank you so much. It's nice to see young people singing before the Lord and worshiping truly from their spirit. You know, our God is good. You guys are doing some wonderful things here, and there is more to come. This morning I'm going to share with you what I have titled, Moving in the Prophetic. My name is Desmond Egariwa. I'm from Kingdom Living Church in Staines. God is doing something good amongst us. And it's such a joy to know Dave. And we meet from time to time to fellowship together and share what God is doing. I'm learning a lot from him. And I hope there is something that he can also learn from me. Today I'm going to read from the book of Acts chapter 13. We'll read from verse 1 to 4. Acts 13, 1 to 4. Are we there? I'd like to get a response. Are we there?
Yes.
Good, good. I remember when we went on family holiday to Munich to see a cousin of mine, and then from there we drove to Innsbruck in Austria. And because it was a bank holiday, there was huge traffic on the motorway. My cousin and his friend suggested we go down the countryside, yes. And as we went, it was just half an hour into the journey, my daughter asked, "Are we there yet?" And I said, "No." We went on the journey. It was such a beautiful, you know, Austria is such a beautiful place, especially the countryside. I love those hills and valleys and mountains. And as we went on the way, my daughter kept asking, "Are we there yet?" I was getting frustrated because it was pouring down with rain. We had two cars taking us down. And when we got there, we had such a wonderful time. But the thing is, on our way there, there were some very beautiful scenery that my girls missed out on because they were so focused on where we were going that they missed out on the beautiful things along the way that God has created and placed along the way.
Yes.
Do you know, in the journey of life, as we walk with God, many of us are so focused on where we're going, what we are believing God for, what we are trusting God for, on the promise that God made to us, that we fail to see the beautiful things that he has placed on the way to help us enjoy every step that we take every day as we walk with him.
Yes.
And you see, life becomes so challenging and difficult when you don't see what God is doing. When you cannot see the beauty of the goodness of the Lord, and each day, every day is a challenge. As children of the living God, we need to see the goodness of God every day as we walk with him. Otherwise, because if you can't see, the devil will reveal to you another picture to see, which is depressing. And so your testimony becomes what the devil is showing you and not what God has revealed to you. So it's very important not only to have a focus where we are going to, but also to look around. Where is God today? What's he doing right now? What's he saying to me? What are the little sweetness he's placed in my day to sweeten my day so as to carry me on to the next day? While we wait for those big miracles, there are the little ones that enables you to live from day to day in joy.
Yes.
So that serving God becomes joyous every day. So that you have a glimpse, you have a picture, you have a vision, you have an idea of where God is, what he's doing, how he's doing it, what he's saying right now. Because God always have encouragers along the way. There is something to encourage you, to pull you along. Because when you don't get that, many people fall before they get to the big thing. Because it's a long way most of the time. And so that's where the prophetic is very important as believers. So like I said today, the title of the sermon is Moving in the Prophetic. And the scripture we're reading, I've said before, it said now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, it means in my Bible, the Amplified translation says black, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, a member of the court of Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, separate now for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they put their hands on them and sent them away. So then, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia. From that port, they sailed away to Cyprus. So the Bible is telling us here that this man of God, with other people in the church in Antioch, gathered and fasted and prayed like you've just done for about 3 weeks. And as they prayed and worship God. How many of you know that fasting and prayer is good? When people gather together to fast and pray over the length of time that you have prayed, it's good. For one, it helps you to lose weight. You don't have to pay, it's free. And then it sharpens your spiritual awareness. It makes you conscious of the one you pray to, the one you serve. And so when you put your heart on the Lord for 3 weeks, focus on him, the image of him is amplified in your heart. He gets bigger in your heart. And as he gets bigger in your heart, you are able to believe him for more. So these people were gathered and they prayed, they fasted and they prayed and they worshiped God. So fasting on his own and prayer is brilliant, it's good, they had such a wonderful time. But the truth was that there was more that God wanted to do than them just gathered, praying and fasting. Because sometimes when we gather and we fasted and we pray, we say, wow, wasn't that good? And the truth is, yes, it was good while it lasted. But with every gathering that we make, every time we make an effort to seek God, and we come to a place where we cooperate with Him, there is something spiritual of a kingdom kind that God births out of it. It does not just end with activities and fasting. God births something special that is long-lasting. And so for these people, as they prayed, somebody had a word of prophecy. Somebody, as they prayed, heard God whisper to him. It might have been just a thought in their heart, or a voice that they heard with the ears of their heart, or a picture. Whichever way they received it, doesn't really matter. But the truth was that somebody there heard God. And as they shared that, the other thing was that the church recognized that there was a voice, there was a place for the prophetic within the church. They recognized that God has spoken. They received it. They prayed it through, because the Bible said they continue to fast and pray, and when they have finished praying in their spirit, they all agreed that it was a word from God, and they brought Paul and Barnabas and anointed them and set them out in accordance to the word of prophecy that they received. And because of that word of prophecy, Paul's ministry was birthed. Because up to that time, he was still finding his way. Don't forget, he was worked with against the church for many years. And this time, the word of prophecy released him, and the church set him out. And if you look at the verse after, verse 5, it says that, so then, being sent out by the what? Holy Spirit. It was, although the church sent him out in accordance to what God was saying, so it was the Holy Spirit that sent them out. And Apostle Paul, as a result of that, was released. And he is such an anointed man that he wrote more than majority of the New Testament that we now read today. Because, I would dare to say, because he was released by that single statement of prophecy. Do you know that if that word of prophecy if somebody did not get it there, it would still have been a good meeting. People were blessed. It would still have been a great meeting. It would still have achieved its purpose. But with that word of prophecy, God was able to bring down his will among his people in the life of Saul, who became Paul, and through him, the church across the world was touched, and people like you and me had doors open to become Christian, because he started to reach out to the Gentiles. He had such an anointing upon his life. His calling was to reach out to the Gentile world, because the word of prophecy came. Imagine. Sometimes when I read the word of God like this, when I see the good part, I try to imagine what would have happened if somebody did not hear God's voice. What would have happened if somebody there did not hear God's voice? Or I'll take it even further. What would have happened if somebody heard the voice of God, but the church did not walk in it? How many times has God showed up in our meetings and we fail to hear what he's saying? Isn't that a scary thought? That God can actually show up and have something and propose something in his heart, something special that he wants to do, that because we don't know, we cannot cooperate with God in it. And even when we hear it sometimes, because our mind cannot comprehend it, or the person that is sharing it, it hasn't caught all the qualities that a prophet requires to have, or maybe we just don't think we are there yet. What they are sharing is too big for us. You know, look at a small church like ours, and somebody like Paul and Barnabas with such giftings and anointing. How can we send them out? Who is going to take their place? For so many reasons, we don't step out. If they had not stepped out, what would have happened to the then church? What would have happened to the Bible? You see why it is very important for us as believers to hear what God is saying. So what is the prophecy? Prophecy is the act of declaring the Holy Spirit inspired word for the sole aim of building up and birthing the purpose of God. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 1 to 5, it tells us, Apostle Paul was saying, he said, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love and make it your own aim and your great quest, and earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowment gift, especially that you may prophesy. He says you should desire to prophesy because it is an essential part of our Christian life. If we have to fulfill God's purposes in our life, we need to prophesy. And then he started to explain to them the difference between prophecy and speaking in tongues. You see, speaking in tongues is the same as prophecy. Why? Because prophecy builds up. The Bible says when you speak in tongues, you build yourself up. So when it's you and God, speaking in tongues is brilliant. It's as good as prophecy. Because what you do then is sometimes you are just speaking to be what your mind cannot comprehend, what you don't even understand. And it is easier to cooperate with God that way because your mind cannot get in the way. And I've got a 1 year, praise God. I'll give you a very quick testimony. As I was mindful of time, I was still in Nigeria about many years ago. I was about 17 years old, because I just finished probably 16 years old. A cousin of mine lost his mom, and we had a funeral for her. And we usually they did a wake keeping and all night. Wake keeping, and I went there to, you know, because many members of our families, we were all there, and we gathered, and at about 12 midnight, I decided to welcome, because my house wasn't far from there, and there was an open market place between there and where I lived then, and as I walked past the police station and approached the market, and I, just about the middle of the marketplace, I saw packs of dogs. No, I saw packs of dogs ahead of me. And as I approached them, about 50 dogs gathered around me, barking crazily. And I wasn't sure what to do. Guess what I did? I spoke in tongues. And all the dogs kept quiet and walked away. Every single one of them.
Wow. Praise God.
I didn't know what I said, but it worked. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we don't know how rich and powerful the things God has placed in our hand is.
Yes. Yes.
Because we don't understand tongues, we underrate it.
Yes.
A few days ago, I was praying. I usually wake up early. I was praying, and as I started to speak in tongues, I saw myself just step into the cloud of glory. There was something I must have said in agreement with God that placed me there. But I don't know what I said. All I did was speak in tongues. So speaking in tongues is also prophetic. You are declaring what God is saying. The only thing is that you are building yourself up, not the church. But when we're talking of prophecy, the church needs to understand what you are saying in order to be built up. That's what Apostle Paul is saying here. So then he now said it was his desire that we all should prophesy. How many of you, at one point or the other in your life, you've heard God speak to you? How did you hear God? Somehow you knew it was God. And what God said to you, did it come to pass? Amen. So you're very sure it was God. So, in other words, we all can hear God. That's what I'm trying to say. We can all hear God. Because if we can all hear God, we can also practice listening to God every time. Because you know that the truth is all the time God speaks. All the time. In order to hear God, we have to learn to listen with the ears of our heart. And that is a challenging thing. Because most of the time, there are many things flying in our mind. There are many things competing for our heart, for our attention. Many things flying around. I won't be surprised if as they were leading worship, there were some who were just thinking, oh, the food in the oven, I hope it won't get burnt before we get home. You know, the devil does that. There are so many things that come to attack your mind when you want to hear God. And the key is to keep the discipline in your mind. You have to learn to discipline your mind, to fine-tune your ears, to recognize the voice of God when He speaks. I remember as a young man, during summer holiday, I used to go to a cousin of mine, spend a few weeks. Some of us go there, we spend a few weeks together. And her husband was reasonably wealthy. And when they went out, kids in those streets in the area used to come to our house. We have fun, we'll play, we mess up the whole place. Before they come, we'll tidy up. And the place will be spotless as new. The guy had a Volvo, one of the latest Volvo then. The truth was, we recognized the sound of his car. We knew the sound of his car. His brother lived next door. He had the same car, but we could differentiate the sound of his car, same model, same car, from the sound of his brother's car. Because where we lived was a bit outside, where they live was a bit out of town. When we heard the sound of his car, we started to tidy up quickly because we heard it from afar. And before he got home and we opened the gate, the whole place was tidy. What am I trying to say? Our ears was fine-tuned to recognize the sound of his car because we heard the sound of his car every day. We washed that car every day. We drove in that car every day. We recognized the sound of that car. That whenever it approached, we could tell that it was his car without having seen the car. In the same way, we can learn to recognize the sound of God's voice.
Yes.
If we hear it again and again and again and again, and we dedicate our mind to recognize it. You see, hearing God, most of the time people think, oh, it's a gift. The truth is, everyone can hear God. There are people who are prophets, but all of us can prophesy. There are people who have prophetic anointing, but all of us can hear God. There are people with giftings to see visions, but all of us can see God. If it's our Father, We should be able to see him. Otherwise, if you can't see God, you are blind. And that's not normal. In the natural, if I can't see you, I recognize there is something wrong with my eyes. And but none of you are blind spiritually because God has anointed you to see him. He has revealed himself to us through Christ and through his word, and your spirit is alive and active and can connect with God anytime. So the job is yours to connect with God. Many people still think, oh, when the Spirit of God chooses to speak to me, he is speaking all the time. When you want him to speak to you, he will speak to you. As I was doing my work on the computer this morning, and my daughter kept coming, started asking more and more questions. I said, look, just give me time. I'm running late. I'm struggling with this. I need to sort it out. She will not go away. See, she kept coming. She's only 7 years old. She asked, Dad, what's the 10th commandment? I couldn't even remember because I was doing, But she got me speaking back to her because she was talking to me all the time. You understand what I'm saying? In the same way with God, if we can engage with God, he will speak to us. A prophetic church is a church that we move in God's will and purpose, and God's will is fully fulfilled all the time. I can't just sometimes I try not to think of that. I think, what will happen when we get to heaven? And God tells me that meeting you had and people gathered, I was there. This was what I brought to do so as to fulfill your ministry. You missed it because you were too busy about preaching the right sermon. Or because the sound wasn't well, your mind was distracted. Somebody sang off key and you were struck. Or somebody, the person that sat next to you, you didn't like his face. Because of that, you missed out on what I was doing. It's funny, isn't it? But it's very serious. Imagine you now get to heaven, somewhere like Paul gets to heaven, God said, this is what you would have done. This is what I would have done through you if somebody had had my voice that day. Don't you want to be a church that work in the fulfillment of God's full purpose? Do you think 1,000 people is too much for God to bring in here? How many people live in Shepparton? At least 10,000. And there's the surrounding towns. And there are a lot of trains, bus connections here, buses that cut. You think God cannot bring 10,000 people here? See, your mind is beginning to think now. 10,000. That this is what word of prophecy does. Before, if Paul knew how much God was going to use him to do, maybe his mind would have played games on him and probably would not have stepped out. But God does not show you everything. Actually, he shows you nothing, just enough to step out. All he said was, separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work I want to do with them. That was all. Nothing else. Based on that word, is that enough for you to step out? Will you be wanting more evidence? More prophetic word? More confirmation? They prayed. They knew it was God. They stepped out. I feel in my spirit, some of you have had prophetic word from God that you've been sitting on. And the Lord is saying, it's time to get up and step out. Hallelujah. God is saying, it's time to step up. Get up. What you're doing is good, but there is more to come. How many of you will be willing to trust God this morning and say, Lord, I'm ready to get up And I'm ready to step out. I'm ready to get up. And I'm ready to step out. If you get up and you step out, men from years to come will be writing of the amazing work that God will do through you. Like we are looking at Paul today and thinking, wow, what an amazing man. In the same way, people will write about you. Shall we pray? I just sensed this morning that God is saying, it's time to step out. It's a stepping out time for you. For some of you, you look around, it looks like you are in the middle of the sea, like the apostles in the boat, and there is this tempest everywhere. And when Jesus came, Bible didn't say when he came, the tempest still. No, when he came, the sea was still raging. And Peter asked, Lord, is that you? He said, yes, it's me. He said, if it's you, then bid me to come. In the language of the old King James, said, ask me to come. See, when you see Jesus in your tempest, your faith rises. It's key for you to hear and see and receive prophetic words. When Peter saw Jesus, the sea that held them captive, that almost, you know, that he was so afraid of, he forgot about this. He said, ask me to step out into the tempest. He was not afraid anymore. What is holding you captive? The Lord wants to bring deliverance this morning. I tell you, he wants to set your heart free if you will just respond. When Jesus said, come, upon that word, Peter stepped out. He forgot that he was stepping out on water, and as he stepped out, he started to walk on water. It doesn't matter where you find yourself right now. A word from God will solidify the ground for you to walk on. If you are ready to step out and ready to walk on water, the word is out. God is saying, I declare to you in the name of the Lord, the anointing of God upon my life, I say, step out. This is the word that God is giving to you, to this church right now. He's saying, it's a time of stepping out. Step out. Some of you, you've been in areas where you have operated so well, in ministries where you have operated so well, and you have been efficient and proficient, and you've done it so well. And God is saying, I want to take it to the next level. There is more in me. Step out. When you stay where you are, you will not see things happen. Things will happen to the level you allow it to happen. But when you step out, God will amaze you. You have come to a season of amazement and wonder. God is going to create a wonder among you that every day you start thinking, wow, you mean God can do this? Wow, is that God? You want to see the wonderment of God? Step out. Father, I pray for everyone that's here this morning. I commit every single one into your hands, Lord. That is at the sound of my voice. And all those who will hear this word through any means, I pray in Jesus' name that you will stir up in our spirit our willingness, Father, to step out based on your word. I pray, Father, that you help us to hear you speak. Help us to declare when we hear you speak. So that which you have proposed, that which you have proposed for our life will be fulfilled in the name of Jesus. Thank you, because there will be many Paul and Barnabas rising up from among our congregation today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, because you have done this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I will invite David to share with us how we're going to do it.
How we're going to do it.
Yeah.
Yes.